Welcome everyone to Designamite FM, a podcast about mind-blowing design conversations. I'm your host Abhimanyu, and joining me is my co-host Lavik.
Hello everyone.
Hey Lavik, how have you been?
I've been good, and I've been actually excited about today's topic.
Oh yes. It's been a long time. I know we are not very good at sticking to the schedule and recording an episode every week. And that's primarily because we both have day jobs, which, you know, keep us busy throughout the day. So,
yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, whenever we get the opportunity. Right.
I think we have done quite good job with like six episodes.
Yeah, so sure. I mean, yes. Yeah.
For, in a year, but yes.
For how lazy I am, like six episodes is definitely a good job. And yeah, I mean, you've kept me honest in that regard, and you know, you keep pushing us to record new episodes, which is awesome. Thanks for that.
All right, let's begin.
Cool. All right, so today's topic is something very interesting. Just a disclaimer before I get into the title for today's episode is that this topic is a little sensitive and a little sad, if I may say. So the topic for today is designing for the afterlife. And we were discussing about this, and we wanted to talk a little bit about this topic because of what's going on right now in this world, right? With the pandemic, the number of lives lost is really staggering. And that got us thinking about what happens to the apps and the platforms and everything that people who are no longer with us, that they were using. And what can we do as designers to be conscious of the fact that someday our users will not be with us anymore? And what are we doing to make sure that whatever they've done using our platforms, is it handled in the right way? That's kind of what we want to explore with today's topic.
Yeah, like what happened to their data? And a good analogy that I was thinking while thinking about this whole topic was in the older ages when we were not equipped with these digital devices like mobile phones or internet and all those things. When someone died and let's say they were famous, their things were auctioned, like Gandhi's spectacles or whatever. Would my data or would someone's data who's famous or like a celeb, would that also be auctioned? Those kind of questions came to me and it was quite scary. And then it also occurred to me, if let's say I die and my data exists, anything that happens with that data, how would it impact me? Mm-hmm. Unless we assume that when I'm dead, there's no afterlife.
Yeah, I mean, so irrespective of, you know, what happens after we die, that question is a very valid question, right? Because a lot of this information, this kind of data is out there, which wasn't there before. Not just the fact that it's data that belonged to you, but also the fact that, you know, you are surrounded by people, friends and family who, I don't know, depending on how your life has been, may want to hang on to your data or may want to not look at it at all, right? And in either of those cases, because of the way social media is today, because of the way we live our lives online, even after you're no longer with us on this planet, things, right? So your memories, the things you've shared, photographs where you've been in, they will all show up. They will all show up in feeds of people who, you know, love you and care about you. They would show up in feeds of people who, I don't know, were jealous of you, envious of you. They would show up in feeds of people who didn't even know you're no longer there, right? Like they're looking at this photo and they're thinking, hey, you know, I remember this guy. I should probably connect with him one of these days without, you know, actually knowing the fact that you're probably not there anymore. So I guess what I'm trying to figure out is how should we as designers look at the life cycle of products that we create with the users in mind? How should we make sure, like how we have an onboarding, can we have...
We have an offboarding.
Yeah, can we have something equivalent on the other end, right? What happens after you're no longer there? It in terms of things that you have in real life, you have like a will, right? In which you basically say that anything that I own goes to, you know, whoever is next in line for me, or something like that, right? Or is given away to charity. So what's the equivalent of a digital will for all of the information that you have out there? And what are, you know, things that can be done? There are obviously legal aspects, right? Like, I probably wouldn't want people looking around in my email after I'm no longer there. And I don't know. I mean, I probably wouldn't care if I'm no longer there. But while I'm here, I probably don't want people to go around looking my email.
There could be some information in, let's say, somebody's mailbox or anything else, like maybe chat window or somewhere, which may impact the other people who are alive.
Yeah.
After they are dead. So that in that way is that it becomes sensitive. Let's say if there are some nuclear passcodes.
Sure. That's a very specific use case. But like, for sure, a more real life thing would be like, you know, legal papers, papers to like your property or something that you own that was probably only there with you. How do you make sure that your family has it, right? And while you're there, there's obviously the mechanism to share, you know, things with family members and stuff like that. But what happens if you didn't do that, right? Is there a mechanism for companies to recognize that, okay, this person was related to you and, you know, maybe we can hand over your data to this person, right?
Right. And I was reading up one day and it came to me that there's the concept of digital executors legally. And what they're supposed to do is that I would appoint a digital executor in my will, and all my credentials or passwords, whichever things that I want to share with them, would be shared with them. And then my data would become, let's say, their property. And it works in an assumption where I say that, let's say, whatever I want my data to go through after I'm dead, I've given the instructions to the digital executor and they would execute it for me. But then it still is a very tricky process because there's a human in the picture, and a human mind cannot be programmed. It could work anyways. So a little loophole there.
Right.
But I'm not sure, like, as designers, I feel when we are doing this dialos and all those things, we should be careful and we should be planning for the part, however sad it may sound, but we should be planning for the part where the user is no longer with us. And how do we do as a responsible platform and application the part that we need to play, the offboarding part?
Right.
Where there's no need for that digital executor, let's say.
Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at this article on a website called death.io, and it's got a ton of stuff, but it's also, there's a section in this article which talks about your social media and online storage after you die. And I can see it lists that for Facebook, you can have your Facebook account memorialized after you die. And I think it's got something to do with, it doesn't talk about the process, but I'm sure there's got to be something related to like a family member who can do that. For Twitter, it says your account can be deactivated on behalf of the person who's died, but Twitter doesn't allow access to another person, right? Similarly, for Dropbox, the description here says it may be that you've stored photos of your grandchildren or videos from your favorite holidays in an online storage. Let's see. You have to provide a copy of the death certificate and evidence that the person wished you to access this file. So there is an element of you having to think about all of this, you know, beforehand, which is very similar to what you do with an actual will, right? You have to prepare for that. You have to make sure that that happens. And with everything that's happened recently, the sudden loss of loved ones, I'm sure this thing is even more relevant because no one in the world thought about how big this thing would be. And suddenly, you know, you always think that, hey, this would not happen to me. I mean, I keep hearing about this, but it wouldn't happen to me. And then a lot of people have seen that happening. And I guess it just makes me think, I don't want to say a market. Is there a need for a product to be out there that integrates into all of these other services that can be used as a central point for you to say, hey, I'm here, or, you know, if I'm no longer here, this will act as proof. And then I can, in that platform, say that Facebook should be doing this, Instagram should be doing this, Gmail should just delete all my emails, you know, all of those kinds of things. But everything managed from like a central point, so that, I mean, the situation in which you've lost a loved one is so stressful and so sad in any way. If you add on top of it the complexities of getting all of these various digital platforms to do what you need them to do, we just add to all of that, you know, sadness and yeah. I mean,
also, I think trust plays a big role here, because it is very difficult to trust any single platform or human being, because behind the platform there is a human being, right? And I don't know what will happen to my data, because I'm no more there to see what is happening, and it is going to impact some or the other person in some or the other way. And that is where there needs to be some regulation or regulatory body who oversees that these things happen just the right way, that data is not being sold or auctioned or you know, made use of in a way that I didn't wanted it to be.
Right. Right. So from a design perspective, and, you know, we haven't talked about this before, but I think I'm going to try and think about these things as we are speaking. So from a design perspective, what do you think we need to build into our products to make sure that we are thinking of all of this, right? So our user journey, and on a lighter note, I remember someone who was joking on Twitter. Essentially, they were trying to show this user journey, and they were sort of saying, you know, this is how hard it is that the user journey ended with user dies. And that's, I think, the first time I started thinking about all this, right? Like, what if that user journey was real, right? So you start with, all the way on the left, your user who comes to your platform, logs in, blah, 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 does all of these things. But then always, you know, there's always this, all the way to the right, user dies as one of the things. And I think the user journeys then shouldn't end there, right? Like, from there, there's going to be new journeys which need to talk about how do things work. So if user dies, you know, somehow does the family come in? Do you reach out? Like, what is it that can be done, right? So I guess what I'm asking you is, are there things that you're thinking of that we can do as designers to address this?
Some quick things that came to me on top of my mind were, let's say when you're onboarding the user on your product, you can ask for them to give a secondary, let's the way we ask the secondary email or anything, right?
Right.
We can ask for a secondary contact or a point, emergency point of contact, let's say.
Right. Right.
In a subtle way where we are not saying that, okay, you're going to die and we are going to reach out to this person.
Of course.
But in case of any emergency where we as a service want to reach out to you and we can't, where else we can, you know, contact.
Right, right.
And that could be the person I want to contact. There could be certain services that I assume, let's say, if come up in future, like, let's say, integrate death.io or something like that and contact them in case of any emergency related to data or breach or anything.
Right. That makes sense. It reminds me of how insurance companies right now ask you to input like a nominee, which is, you know, in case, right? Because insurance is, you know, related. If you're talking about life insurance, it's literally related to you not being life. There, in which case you need a nominee. So it makes sense there, but it also applies to other platforms, right? You need someone to look after stuff after you're not there.
Totally. Yeah, and in fact, like opening fixed deposits digitally and recurring deposits digitally also has this option of nomination.
Correct. Correct.
And adding people.
Yeah, that makes
sense.
So
those could be subtle parts. And initially, like right now in the scenario where we have to add, let's say, an alternative email, it's generally an optional thing.
Right.
Then it could be a mandate, or it could also, if somebody chooses not to put any details
right
in there,
right,
then it should be telling the user that in any severe circumstance or worst case scenarios, what would they do with that data?
Right, right. That makes sense, right? Like, I mean, there could be an option that says, you know, delete my data or something. And we can obviously get into specifics of how to implement this, right? Because I'm trying to think about situations where there are bad actors who are trying to say that you're not there and trying to sort of get access to your data. But then there's also, how do you do a check? How do you, like, is there a way for you to, I don't know, maybe send an email every year or every 6 months and, you know, literally has a big CTA that says, I'm still here, I'm still alive. And, you know, you click on that, or, you know, in the next 6 months, there's reminders that can be sent. And based on the response, you could have like an automatic thing happen where you could say, this data is going to be deleted because you haven't, you know, gotten back to us. And some platforms already do that. I remember there's this cloud storage called pCloud. And I keep seeing emails from them. They basically say that, you know, this account has been inactive for the past, I don't know, 6 months or 12 months or something. And so we're going to delete it unless you log in. So the implementation is already there, not from the perspective of the discussion we are having today, but it's more like, if you're an inactive user, we don't really need to spend, you know, bandwidth and time sort of taking care of your data. Maybe we can just delete it. And that's a good way. That's an easy way to do it, because you don't really need to tell your users that, hey, look, this is what we are trying to do in case you're not here anymore. It's just a policy. It just says that your account will be deleted if you're not using it, which is still better than nothing happening and your data and your digital life living on long after you're not there, right? So that's a good thing. That makes sense.
I do agree with the overall idea, but the only thing that bothers me here is that I need to put some effort as a user.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And like, even clicking on that button in maybe your emailer that comes asking me if I'm active or not.
Right.
That is an effort. And that, like, there are a lot of emails that come to our mailboxes every day, and it's mm-hmm. very hard to keep track of the right mails that we need to open and like give our attention to.
That's true. That's true. And so, there could also be situations where, you know, you're injured, you know, for example, maybe in a state of coma or something where you can't really do anything yourself. And that could be a state in which you're there for a longer period, but it doesn't mean that you're not there anymore. And in such a situation, you don't want to eventually wake up and realize that your entire digital existence is not there anymore. So, yeah, I think you bring up a good point that there is risk in doing this automatically. So it does tell me that, you know, maybe a good solution is literally to have the kind of service that we talked about, right? Something that's central, that integrates into every other service, that can act as proof. And that one central point, if there is a central point, it makes it easy then. So you could have an integration with the government. So when something like a death certificate is issued, that platform knows it. That platform can then inform the others. And depending on what's set as your preferences, which we just talked about, like, you know, my Facebook data gets deleted, but my online storage gets shared with my family, stuff like that, right? And I'm even thinking about subscriptions. I was thinking about this a couple of days ago, right? I'm subscribing to more and more things. And like, I literally have to install an app to keep track of all my subscriptions. And, you know, it feels like a very difficult situation if you're no longer there and you're subscribed to a ton of things, right? You're spending like 20,000 to 30,000 rupees every month on various subscriptions combined. If you're no longer there, if you're not using them anymore, if you set up like an auto renewal or something, that's going to just keep going on. And, you know, where does it stop? How can your family take action to make it stop? So all of those things are really, really important, because these things are going to cause grief even, you know, after you're not there, because the family is going to be reminded again and again. If your family is not, you know, really good at tech, they're going to be confused. You know, what's happening? What's really going on? And so it's really important, I feel, as designers, to think about all these eventualities and make sure that we are designing keeping those in mind.
Yeah, totally. And in fact, it's not just designers, but governing bodies like governments, as you mm-hmm. say. So the same way we have food regulation bodies, right? Mm-hmm. Which make sure that there's some standardization in terms of whatever food we are eating and the people are serving outside. in the restaurants or wherever you can eat. The same way, we need to have somebody which takes care of this whole digital part of your life and says, okay, these are the accounts that are active on these many platforms from our country, let's say India. And this is how we are going to take care of them. And it is critically important to see and to make laws for these things, which don't exist right now, because right now we are even lacking behind in terms of the laws from data perspective as to how the data has to be collected, what data has to be collected, encryption. And every day we keep hearing new things from the government side.
Yeah. And I'm sure this will come up in conversations more now, like we said, because of the recent events in the world. A lot of people, a lot of governments are going to be asking this question, even if it's just in preparation for, you know, the next event like this. And, you know, without going there, like, a lot of people have been talking about that this pandemic is just like a trailer to a bigger movie that might end up showing up later. So, yeah, I mean, preparing for all of those things is definitely important. Is there anything that you're doing at a personal level to make sure that your digital data life, you know, those kinds of things are accessible to your family or something on those lines?
Not on the level where we think of, let's say, Facebook accounts or Instagram accounts, etc. But simple things like documents. What we have done is we have created a digital folder that is shared across the family on, let's say, Google Drive or OneDrive, whatever. And we have maintained a log of all the different documents that are critical to all of us and would affect us in a larger picture, and made sure that we have shared within all of us on a cloud-based system.
Right.
But then while uploading, I was also in my head encountering that there might be a risk of someone else reading these documents. However fair, fine, and nice I consider these cloud platforms to be. And what if that something happens there and things get out of control? Then there might be a very less gain for someone who is, let's say, stealing or doing wrong things with that data. But it will be a big loss from me, from my perspective. Like,
I mean, that applies
on our
to
end.
That does apply to like all data that you have out there anyway. But I think if you think about what happens if all of that's not available, that's like a more negative thing as opposed to, you know, the risk of someone getting to these documents. Obviously, you should, you know, vet the services you're using, try and see if you can find something that's known to be a secure service, but still allows the kind of sharing that you're talking about. Or even, I mean, you're talking about like an online, a cloud platform to store all of this. There could also be like a family hard drive or something at your home where you store all of this. And that's like a local offline copy, which, you know, you put a reminder on your calendar, like, you know, every year at Christmas, you're going to consolidate everything that's online, put it on this drive. So, you know, at least the data from the past year is still available locally.
Even and updated.
Even if for some reason, you know, policies change, the cloud platform goes away or something like that, that would be a good thing.
But then the challenge, I actually had thought of hard drives, but the challenge with them is that you can't rely on their life.
Yeah, I know, that's there, but it's, again, a matter of, like, nothing versus something, right? Like, if you don't do that versus if you have some sort of a system. And, yeah, that's always there. The hardware would have, like, a particular life, and you can't totally rely on that. But you've got to do something to make sure that things are available. I want to talk about a little bit in what I do in this regard. So one of the biggest things that I've done right now in my family is we use a password manager called 1Password. And initially, it was probably just me using it. I finally got my wife to use it. And now I also have my parents and my sister using it. So the five members in the family right now are on a family plan. And what we've done is, you know, there's obviously the element of trust. But what we've done is we've taken the passwords to all of our 1Password accounts. And we've stored them as logins in like a shared vault that we all have. So in case of a situation where someone needs to access it, they don't really need to do any extra work. If they open, you know, 1Password on their device, they'll be able to look at the information required for them to log into my 1Password. and be able to get to all my credentials that way. The one thing that, you know, obviously we have to keep in mind is that the master password used to unlock the vault needs to be strong, right? Because if we've got our individual passwords stored in there, and let's say my sister's password is not as strong and is guessable or is reused, then all of our vaults are at risk, right? So those are things that we need to do for sure. But at this moment, I have peace of mind that even if anyone of us is not available, by doing a little digging and understanding what's available, my family would be able to figure out how to get into the accounts that are there in 1Password. That said, it's still, you know, a little bit of work. So maybe, you know, we've spoken about a service that allows you to have this central point where you can integrate into other services and all, but maybe something as simple as a document essentially that tells your family that, look, here's the kind of information. If you, in case of a situation like this, there's a document that says all of my stuff is in 1Password, you can get to it. Other than that, I have a bunch of subscriptions that go on, and all of that information is stored in this one app which I'm using for my subscription tracking. And the password to get into that app, you'll again find on 1Password. And, you know, so on and so forth. My device password is this, and it's also in 1Password. And you can get to it if you need to. So essentially drawing them a map, right? In a situation like this where your family is going to be really disturbed and unable to figure out what's going on, all of these kinds of things will make life really easy. So even if it's just a thing as simple as creating a PDF document and just keeping it around in the family without obviously mentioning sensitive details is going to be really helpful.
I do agree. And it is critical and important. And we may not realize the value of it unless we actually suffer through it or we see someone else suffer through it and we take a decision.
Right.
Although still it is an initiative to be taken by a person, and there's a certain amount of effort that is required. Yeah. And that is where I think we are discussing why design should be good enough to take care of all those things while you're signing up for subscriptions, while you're signing up for your social media accounts.
Exactly.
And anything and everything, because at the end of the day, our goal is to make our users' life easy, solving the problem and thinking of the whole image and scenario.
Totally. Exactly what I wanted to bring out of this episode. It's really important for us as designers to think of these things, like you rightly said, so that the lives and the afterlives of our users are as easy as possible.
Yes.
Cool.
And I do agree. I hope after listening to this episode, at least a lot of our listeners would get a hint of managing these things at least on their own levels as much as they can or they feel they should, so that their near and dear ones don't suffer.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I hope that through this episode, users will at least start thinking about these things when they are designing something new.
Yes, and in fact, another thing that occurred to me was that when thinking of such topics, as you in the beginning gave a disclaimer that, you know, it's going to be a sensitive topic, it may be a little sad, it also becomes a challenge for us to bring these things up in front of children when they are creating their accounts, social media accounts. As we are seeing through yours, technology has developed itself that it's reaching out the younger ones more and more. Like initially when I was in my school or college, the technology was just good enough to be so that the mobile phones were just in the hands of people who were in the 10th grade or 12th grade, something like that. But now 6th graders, 5th graders also have mobile phones, and there's a need. There's an aspect of need. There are things like parental controllers and other things. But then this also means that they are having passwords on their mobile phones. They are having their own accounts that we might not be aware of. And introducing them to the concept of this level of privacy and sharing and these worst case scenarios is a challenge for us as a designers to communicate. And I feel that it's a good problem statement. I don't have a solution to it yet. I haven't come across to it yet. But companies like Lego and companies like Disney can, I feel, have the potential to communicate it in the right way.
Right.
And maybe a fun way, a lighter way, give it a better tone than it has right now in this episode as well. Uh-huh.
I know. I mean, we're really just like not in the happiest of moods talking about all of this ourselves. Yeah, I mean, like you said in the beginning, there could be ways to bring this up without really conveying that it's for that purpose. So there are ways, and you rightly said it's a problem that we're throwing out there for all of us as a design community to think about and to practice and to come up with good solutions that become like the standard throughout all our digital services and platforms. I think that's all I had to discuss about this, right? Because this is a topic, like we were saying, that we wanted to put out there and have everyone think about. And I'm sure some other podcast somewhere else has discussed this, and I'm going to look for it and try to see if I can, you know, learn something from there. But we wanted to make sure that we also talk about it now in the time where we all are, and see if together we can come up with things.
Yep.
Cool. All right.
So that was a quite interesting and intense discussion. I hope you all found it pretty insightful as designers as well as users, because at the end, we all are users. Feel free to reach out to us at DesignamideFM on Twitter and Instagram. Until then, stay tuned.